Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and the Word is the Way to Life podcast. I like that. You know, the Word, it's Jesus. He shows us the way to life and we can communicate with one another. So we thank you for tuning in to this special edition of the Pastor's Thoughts and focusing on Christ through Ecclesiastes. Well, it's really interesting now. We are in a time that we're getting close to the conclusion of what Solomon was thinking through all of this. And this week it comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. Hear God's word. Now this is some good advice for everybody. Light is sweet, it's wonderful to see the sun. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life, but let them also remember that the dark days will be many. Everything still is to come is meaningless. Young man and young woman, it's wonderful to be young, every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in, but remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So, banish grief and pain, but remember that youth, with a whole life before it, still faces the threat of meaningless. I love Solomon. You know, life is delightful, but it's also brief. You'll be dead for a long time. So, enjoy life and listen to your heart. If you see something, go for it. And remember that God will judge everything that you do. Avoid life, death, ends. Because, you know, you don't want to be in a dead-end situation. You want to keep on going. But if you were asked to address young Christians, what would you say? Would your priorities in life be? What would they be? What would those be your main points if you had a chance to talk to people and share some of the things that the teacher was talking about? And most of it I think we could agree with. But his main point in today's passage, how's that theme of enjoying life and accountability to God fit together? Well, bear in mind the earlier chapters that we looked at. The teacher is not encouraging us to indulge absolutely any desire. No, he didn't. Never be an escapist. He said there are paths in life that bring anxiety and trouble, such as over-reliance on one's own wisdom. Boy, oh boy. That's a heart-wrenching thing to think about. Over-reliance on one's own wisdom or a wrong attitude towards wealth. These are paths to be avoided. Still, today's text that I just read clearly encourages us to seek out what gives pleasure. This is not irresponsible teaching. It can be read, among other things, as advice to identify our talents and develop them for God's service. After all, when we find our true calling, it's likely to be something we enjoy doing, not something that makes us grit our teeth, so to speak. I've heard it said many times, if you find something that you love to do, you'll never work another day in your life. And I found that to be true when God called me into the ministry. I never had a want or need that was never met. But I digress, because the teacher is conceived of God's judgment. Yeah, he points and suggests that some pattern of our behavior bring about their own judgments. But he also knows that this is not the whole story. Justice is not always done in this life. So logically, judgment of chapter 11, verse 9 must take place after death. The Bible says first comes death and then the judgment. Now this seems to be the direction in which the teacher's thought is going. Characteristically, this not becomes clear until the end of the book, which we'll read in a few weeks. For over 10 chapters, the teacher confronts us with life's apparent injustices and enigmas, and then only then reveals key elements of his thinking, which makes sense. human accountability to God, judgment after death. These are notes on which the book will end in chapter 12, verse 14. But in the meanwhile, the teacher finally tells us that we are to secure a basis for understanding the world. We are in the world, not of the world. That's what Jesus said. So while we're here, we got to deal with worldly things. And I really like Solomon's take on all this. So if we are accountable to God, then should we live cautiously? Should we keep our enjoyment with strict bonds, adopting the principles that bring us pleasure? I don't know. Not all of it can be good for us, can it? But with caution, and it has dangers, it is possible that on Judgment Day, God will reproach some of us for our timidity, for not having trusted Him and lived life to the full. I think God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. I think that's what Jesus told us. So there are many legitimate and satisfying ways of finding joy in God's world. The teacher has touched on some of the things earlier chapters, like fulfilling work in chapter 2 and 3 and 5, and particularly work done in partnership with others in chapter 4. Food, drink, and marriage, good company, chapter 8 and chapter 9. So more generally, why should we Christians not be known as bold and happy, happy people, and enjoy life? Is this not part of the gospel of Jesus Christ and witnessing in Philippians 4, all things work together for good, that the scripture tells us, and also in Philippians that we can do all things through God? Well, I think it might be, and it should be, a priority for all of us to enjoy good things that God brings our way, deliberately, reverently, and thankfully. Thanks be to God for all things. But what difference could it make to your discipleship and witness if you made this a practice in your life? Well, today's study in chapter 11, verses 7 through 10, suggests that there are two errors that we can make concerning God's judgment. We can fail to acknowledge that we are accountable to God. We can be in denial, but we can also be so obsessed with thoughts of judgment that we are afraid to take any risk or enjoy what God gives us to enjoy. It's a healthy way of thinking about God's judgment and about eternal life, isn't it? Well, this is a wonderful little segment that we do as we lift up thoughts and prayers. And prayer is such an important part of our relationship with God. And if you have never developed a prayer life, I encourage you to do it. And say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know the proper stance. When do you fold your hands? When do you look up? When you, you don't need all that. You can just say, Father, I want to talk to you. And He'll say, yes, son and daughter, I'd like to talk to you. Let you and I develop a friendship and pour out our heart to one another and seek wisdom and grace. Can we do that? Oh, yeah, we sure can. Jesus gave us a model prayer. And remember, He told us that when you don't do like the hypocrites do and out there make all kind of prayer and noises and everybody look, oh, he's praying. No, He said to go into your prayer closet. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, we are spiritual beings and we are created in God's image. And we can go to God anytime, anywhere. We don't have to be in public and nobody has to know what we're talking about to God. This is a relationship between you and God. And what He meant by that, I think, is just to go and be still, like it tells us in the Psalm, and know that He's God. And talk, audibly. Yes, talk audibly. Sometimes you might even get an answer audibly. I think I have in the past. I'm not sure, but things that He has given me, I understood very clear. So whether it was audible or not, I don't know, but I knew it was God giving me some wisdom and directions and things in life. So when Jesus was here on earth and the disciples were with him, and at the end of the day, they always stopped and built a fire and had dinner and different things. And he would go off to a place by himself in his prayer closet, if you would, and talk to the Father. And it puzzled the disciples. So one day when he came back after talking to the Father, they said, Lord, can you teach us to talk to the Father? He said, sure, let me give you a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with as we close this segment. Join me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tune in, especially for the next 2 weeks. But we're going to start on chapter 12, and we're going to get a better understanding of the concluding thoughts of Solomon. God loves you, and so do we.